I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It's a dream come true. It's the moment you've always been waiting for.
Kiss me out of the big
I'm okay!
It's not another teen movie. Prepare yourself.
Road trip!
For a movie that goes where every other teen movie has gone before.
I heard there's some undercover reporter posing as a high school student.
Do either of you know where Mr. Keller's English class is?
Only further.
We saw you at our practice, and I know you stole our routine.
We've always done our own cheers.
Well, then you better bring it.
Oh, it's already been brought in.
We're black, we know it. We take our bathing suits and show it.
Can I get a whoop whoop?
Hey there, and welcome to Rewatchability. This is the podcast where we rewatch old movies and TV shows to see how they hold up in the modern eye, now, in the present day. We are an Entertainment One podcast on their network, and my name is Blaine Waters. With me, as always, is...
Rob. Lerone. What's up?
Great. And...
J.M. McNabb. Was that you being a teenager? What was that?
Yeah, just like a hip young person.
Are you okay?
Oh, okay. I may have hit my head.
It sounded like you had an aneurysm halfway through. Rob,
call the
hospital.
Ambulance, please.
I don't know. Have you guys ever been listening to a podcast and there's like a weird pause for some reason and you think like your phone is broken or you're getting a call? Like, that's probably what just happened to a lot of people listening to this.
People just fell off the treadmill trying to look at their phone.
Yeah.
I was trying to get healthy, damn it. Well, this week, Rob and Jam and I are going to talk about Not Another Teen Movie. And before we get into it, this was my pick. I'll own that right away. I kind of feel bad for making you guys watch it. But there's some funny things to talk about in it. And we'll get to that after thanking our Patreons. Those are people who give us $1, $3, or $5 a month. They go to patreon.com/rewatchability and they pitch in. And if you can't do that, you can tell a friend about the podcast or a relative, your insurance broker.
That you're trying to like... trick into going to prom with you as a result of some sort of bet?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, this would turn her off of that. This would really let her know the plan.
You could make her a mixtape of the podcast, your favorite moments.
Oh, God. And actually, if you do, we need that just for publicity, so you can send that to us, too, and we'll go to prom with you. But let's get into it, Rob.
I wanted to promote something.
Oh, sorry, yes.
Too. You guys remember a few years ago, we did the Hot Docs Festival here in Toronto. We presented a screening of a movie. I'm going to be doing something with them again this week. If you're listening to this the week this comes out, this coming Friday, January 29th, I'm going to be a part of a panel with the guys at the Daily Zeitgeist, Jack and Miles. We're going to be talking about the show at 11 a.m. Friday, January 29th. And I think it's just for pass holders, but get a pass to the podcast festival. You're listening to this. You like podcasts. Go to the thing. And now you don't even have to go anywhere. You know, you can watch it from home because it's all virtual. So
like you do to podcasts anyway, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. You didn't get into podcasts to meet people, go places.
Go places.
Like, we went to some live podcasts when we were at the festival and we got passes, and it was kind of weird, like, you know, not doing my dishes while I listened to podcasts, you know? It was weird being out wearing clothes and, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Seeing LeVar Burton's face when he was answering questions, like, why was that a question? You know?
Yeah. That was pretty awesome, though, seeing LeVar Burton.
It was pretty cool. But they get to see you online, right? Is it recorded? Is it video?
Yes. Okay. Yes. So it's all going to be streamed online, but you do have to sign up for a pass. So if you go to, you know, I think it's hotdocs.ca or just search Hot Docs, people know how to find it. Great festival. Love it. Happy to be a part of it. I did want to mention one other thing before we get into this week's episode. There was a minor controversy that that you started, Blaine, a few weeks back.
Oh,
I don't know who controls the rewatchability Twitter at this point, because it used to be me, and then it was Rob. I don't know if it's the network, or do you control
it's
it,
me.
Rob?
It's still me.
Okay. Well, you tweeted out a thing about how when we did the last episode, the three of us, we talked about Muppet Treasure Island. And on that episode, Blaine mentioned mm-hmm. that he had never seen the Muppet Christmas Carol,
mm-hmm. yeah.
which provoked some conversation because mm-hmm. that we were surprised. That seemed crazy. And Rob, you pointed out on Twitter,
yeah.
we totally did that on the show.
We did?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We did. Like,
we watched that movie.
Episode 134.
And I don't think, Rob, I don't think you were on it, but like,
no.
I remember doing it on the show, and I remember it being just two of us. And when Blaine said that the other day, I remember thinking like, oh, I guess it was just me and Rob that did that show. But no, it was you.
I would like to clarify, I was on that show. I phoned in from Vancouver.
Okay. Right,
that's,
okay.
That's
yeah.
amazing. That's amazing. I have no memory
so
of that
I guess
movie.
My first question is, why are you lying to everybody?
Yeah, what do you have to hide?
No, I had a lot
to gain. Did you not watch Muppet Christmas Carol way back then? Have you not watched any of these movies?
I must have watched some of them.
I love the idea that what we've been doing this for like 10 years and like Blaine hasn't watched a single movie. He's just been like reading Wikipedias.
Or like, or you go back through and I'm just agreeing with everyone. I'm just like, oh yeah, that was a crazy moment. Yeah, when that happened. Like, I've never seen any of them.
He's typing furiously.
And for that one, you probably just thought, like, I've seen A Christmas Carol. I know who the Muppets are. Like, I think I can wing it.
Yeah, I can improv that. It's like jazz, man. It's just, you know,
it's not like jazz.
I've seen La La Land. I know jazz. I have. That's great. And I'm very red in the face right now.
Well, now we have to rewatch Muppet Christmas Carol so that we can be sure that you've seen it.
God damn.
Yeah. We'll drop that episode in like March just to maximize traffic for that one.
Well, look, I have a pretty poor memory. Whenever I suggest a movie, I do search Google, like, that movie plus rewatchability to see if we've done it before. Like, I really don't remember a lot of the movies we've done before. And I only remember movies that I've seen at sleepovers, so it's really hard for me to know if I've seen a movie or not.
Okay. I also, you know, I feel like we've done movies on the show that I don't remember, but are stupid enough. They're like a movie that's like a kind of a dumb movie that I haven't seen in a long time, and I think, oh, that'll be fun to watch for the podcast, and then I look it up and we've already done it.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, am I just going to watch this for fun now?
I thought I had an excuse.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Anyways, yeah, I wanted to get to the bottom of that, and we have gotten nowhere close to the bottom. I still don't understand it. It's very confusing.
welcome to being me. understand
I'm sorry,
very little.
I just wanted to
be very confused. No, that's really funny.
Yeah.
I'm glad you brought it up. I'm glad I know.
Have you seen Not Another Teen Movie?
Don't lie. I've seen a lot of teen movies, though, so we're good. We're good.
Oh, my God.
I've seen poop jokes before, so I think we're covered.
Well, that's probably true. You'll be fine.
Okay, so as I lie my way through this movie, Rob, do you want to tell people when you first saw this movie? Have you seen this movie before? Do you remember?
No. Okay. No. I just assumed that this was one of those, you know, dumb teen parody movies that were churned out sort of one after another, because there was the teen movies, and then there were the movies that parodied the teen movies but were also teen movies. Like, they were their own thing. Like, they were sort of parody. It was like, it was weird. Anyway, I wasn't interested in any of it, you know? I saw some of the teen comedies, some of the better ones. We've talked about many of them on the podcast over the years. Can't Hardly Wait. I didn't really like the American Pie franchise, and this was sort of like, you know, parodying that sort of movie. So I didn't see it. I wasn't really that interested in it at all.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. What about you, Jam?
I did see it. I saw it, I guess, around when it came out on video, because I was still in high school, but I didn't see it in the theaters, because why would you do that? But I remember watching it, thinking it was before, like, we were getting, like, the really shitty, like, you know, quote-unquote movies being cranked out, like Disaster Movie and Epic Movie.
Yeah.
But there was, you know, the scary movies, and I was not a fan of those. I thought they were...
too scary.
Pretty, yeah, too chilling. Well, like, I remember going to see, like, the first scary movie, and it's just so much of it is, like, pointing out that are things that are dumb about Scream, but Scream was already doing that. It was a commentary on a commentary, and it just... I don't know. Right. So, like, this movie kind of got lumped in with that, I think. And then, so I
we
think
we do
I've
commentaries
seen this...
on commentaries all the time. Like, when we talk about someone's critique of a movie and we critique the critique, we're so guilty of that all the time.
Blaine, this requires almost no effort. This is not a...
It's true. It's true.
To make Scary Movie, they wrote a script. They hired actors.
Hundreds
it was probably
of people
shot
involved.
On film. They checked the gate. Like, it was a big production.
Oh, my God.
But I think I saw this twice, because I saw it once on video and thought it was surprisingly funny.
Mm-hmm.
For, like, I thought it was a bit more in line with, like, you know, the Zucker Abrams
right,
Naked style.
Gun sort of thing.
And I thought it was surprisingly pretty funny. And I think I watched it again with some friends for that reason. Like, you know, hey, this was actually pretty funny, and we all thought it was pretty funny, but mm-hmm. I haven't watched it in, you know, 20 years.
Yeah.
So I was curious to watch it again now. What about you, Blaine? This was we basically asked you to pick this week. You had all of cinema to choose from. You had over 100 years of film.
Metropolis. Gone with
Citizen
the Wind.
K. Nope. No, I don't want to do that.
That one, I don't think we should be.
Right now. Surprisingly, no.
You know, that's good plus about this movie is that, like, there's no Confederacy in that another teen movie.
There was, but they cut him out. God. Smart choice.
No, I was away for a week. You guys did an episode without me and watched a whole bunch of wonderful, great movies. Dr. Zhivago, I remembered seeing when I was in, like, for history class. I watched that. It's an amazing movie. It's so good. We could have done that. I could have saved myself 2 hours and we could have done that. Water, we could watch a whole bunch of great movies. But I was
Did
like,
you
no.
Say water?
Yeah.
What's that?
Like the Deepa Mehta film?
Yeah, the Deepa Mehta film.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I didn't know if you were making a joke, like, we could have just watched actual, like, still, like a glass of tap water instead of this movie.
Just evaporating the chlorine out of it from the tap. Yeah, no, paint dry would have been great. No, I chose this film because I wanted to rewatch it. It had been in my head for a while because, like you, JM, I watched it, not in high school, but in my first year of university. I ripped it off. You know, I wasn't in a dorm, but they had the dorms all connected through Ethernet, and it was like the internet, but like intranet, and you could rip movies off other people's computers. And so I ripped Not Another Teen Movie off onto like a disc, a rewritable disc. And
what's the statute of limitations on that?
I know. Campus security.
I downloaded a car, guys. And I remember really liking it. I watched it with a bunch of people at my apartment, my first apartment in Toronto, and remember really just thinking that it was much better than I ever thought it would be or that it had any right to be. And there were jokes in it that I then said to myself or to others who knew the movie as like this kind of parlance that if you'd seen this movie, you get these jokes like, you know, believe in the ball and throw yourself, like stupid little jokes that I remember just so fondly because saw it with friends in first year university. It was a very scary time for me. Watching this movie was like a bright spot. And I remember it like that. And so
Sorry, I'm just laughing at you taking comfort in this movie in a dark, scary time in your life. Just comfort me, not another teen movie.
No, it was. I could tell you the whole sob story, but no, it was like peanut butter sandwich because that was all that
it's a tough time.
Could afford. My OSAP, which is like our grant system in Ontario, didn't come in, and so I didn't have any money. And like this guy gifted me from a corner store, he gifted me like a loaf of bread and peanut butter. And I remember watching this movie like with peanut butter spreading it on the bread.
I thought he gave you the movie. He was like, "Here, eat this." No. It'll fill up your soul.
Let them eat metacomedy.
This is the weird millennial version of Les Mis. Get a loaf of bread and not another teen movie.
Exactly. Just miserable is what they call it. Yeah. No, it was it was nice to have. So my wife and I were recalling it and she had fond memories of it too. She remembered some jokes from it and we like talked about those jokes. And then we rewatched together and I felt kind of, I don't know, it's changed a lot in my eyes over the years and I can't wait to talk about it. So, and I wonder if you have a similar reaction to it, JM. So,
yeah, I mean, parts of it. Yeah. I mean, as we'll go through, like parts of it, I think are still really funny and parts of it were just like, oh my God, like what were they thinking?
Why? Like why even? Yeah, for sure. Okay, Rob, do you want to get into the rundown of this movie?
Okay.
Meta movie?
It begins with a high school student. Her name is Janie. She's in bed watching a popular teen movie. It's She's All That. That classic with Freddie Prinze Jr. and somebody else. And she...
How dare you?
Yeah, that's offensive. It's who is it? It's Rachel Lee Cook, right?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I love
right.
that you had to say, who is it? To begin that sentence, though. You really
well,
backed up Rob's.
They're currently making the gender-flipped remake.
That's right, mm-hmm. they
She's
are.
All That right now. There was like a story in the news about how they like disrupted like some kind of pandemic testing center so they could film a scene for He's All That.
Oh, my God.
Sorry, go on. But and it's not really the movie, though, either. I don't think they got the rights. They, like, reshot.
They didn't get the rights. Yeah, so this is also a remake.
She's watching
of
a bootleg.
That scene in the movie. So when that scene comes up in this remake, it'll be the third time it's been done, which is weird. Anyway.
Wow. Mm. But she is watching this thing, and she gets excited, I guess, and she pulls out the scariest instrument I've ever seen. This is like, I mean, this dildo vibrator thing that she has like a slider on it to turn it on. Like, that can't be safe. But she starts doing this thing, and, you know, her family comes in to wish her happy birthday. And
so does the rabbi. So does everyone.
Yeah. I thought this was pretty funny because this is the opening of American Pie, right?
Right. Yeah.
Exactly.
In that movie, the character is jerking off.
It's like the gender swap version.
Yeah. But and like his parents come in or something and that. So this is like his parents come in and so does his her extended family and then like like a bishop and a bunch of orphan children.
The family dog.
Yeah. Oh God, yeah. See, and that's where like there's times in this movie where you're like, okay, yes, that's kind of funny and you're giggling along and then it'll like go off a cliff and you're like, why was I watching that and then laughing at the same time? Because it gets you sometimes.
It made you feel bad, right, Blaine?
Yeah, because I had the same reaction because it's like, I was even thinking at the time like, oh, this is almost like kind of progressive to take this scene because we have so many scenes in you know, comedies, teen comedies where like boys are jerking off or like, you know, dick jokes. So like to take that and to make it about like a young woman's sexuality is like kind of like, yeah, maybe progressive's too strong a word, but it was, you know, maybe a step in the right direction. But then, yeah, they add this thing where like the dog is like accidentally pleasuring her and it becomes very quickly uncomfortable. And yeah, like this movie is like the mental gymnastics of like being like, oh, that's funny. And then like, oh, I take it back. It's not funny.
Yeah.
Very quickly uncomfortable could be the subtitle to this movie. Like it could be not another teen movie. You'll be very quickly uncomfortable.
It doesn't help that her dad is Randy Quaid.
Yeah. Playing just in general himself, interestingly.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, yeah, no, he's not a character, no. Ooh, just, yeah. Mm-mm. That guy, he really brings the queasiness, the filthiness to the movie, you know? Like, he's genuine. He's the genuine article, you know?
Yeah, because it's like he's playing like a sleazy kind of, I think he's supposed to be like Harry Dean Stanton in,
right.
What was it, mm-hmm. Pretty in Pink? Or 16
yeah,
Candles.
That's right.
I get those confused. I can't remember. He's like the dirtbag dad whose life has fallen apart. But it's hard to watch now because he's being played by a dirtbag whose life has fallen apart.
Yeah.
Yeah. But she goes to school like any typical American teenager. And it's, it's John Hughes' school. A little nod to the king of 80s comedies, which this also pays tribute to. It's not just the American Pies and the 10 Things I Hate About You that it pays tribute to. There's a little bit of the 80s in there as well.
And they have a few locations like that. Like they have like the Harry Dean Stadium.
Anthony Michael.
The Michael.
And...
Yeah, that's
there. Yeah, that's pretty funny. That was the funniest one for sure.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one. But there are all these other people at the school as well. We get to meet like all the cliques. There's, you know, the jocks and the nerds and all of that stuff. Her brother is sort of part of this like group of misfits, sort of like the geeks and freaks and geeks. In fact, one of them is one of the geeks from Freaks and Geeks, Sam Levine, doing some sort of like Asian cosplay character.
Catch you guys later. What happened there? Damn, shorty. Dog is pretending to be Asian and shit.
That Crockett is white. Can't he see that, yo?
Yeah, this was... Yeah. I wanted to ask you guys about this, because, like, the whole joke with his character, and I use the term joke loosely, is that he's, like, he wants to be Asian, and he wears, like, I don't even know what he wears. He wears like a headband like from the Karate Kid or something, and he speaks in broken English. But is that a reference to something?
I think they do make the joke in it that like a lot of young white men were participating as much as possible in like black culture at the time. And so like I think and sometimes like by co-opting it and so I think they were like making that.
It's a commentary on how much of like teen culture at the time was co-opting black culture and just rewiring.
Yeah, and
it.
I think there's some like, you know, characters in teen movies that were doing that to like the nth degree. But like I don't know if doing the same thing with another culture is the right joke on that?
No, man, it's super not.
It just made me feel uncomfortable. It just made me
I mean,
feel
there's also like, it's even like, because he's supposed to be played for the butt of the jokes, even though it feels super racist. But like, even when they're doing that, they kind of fail at it because there's one point where he like goes up to two Asian men at a party or teens and, you know, does his whole shtick. And the joke is like, oh, he looks, you know, foolish and racist and they don't think much of him. But then one of them like karate chops him in the head or kicks him or something. Like it just becomes super racist again. And, I didn't get that. I thought maybe it was a reference to something I hadn't seen.
It kind of felt like trickle-down racism. Like it was like it's not good to be racist to black people anymore, but like Asian people are still all right to make fun of. So let's do that in this movie. Like that's kind of what it felt like. it was like the safer way to be.
Well, it seems a little bit good intention, but also like just kind of totally oblivious.
Yeah.
And like they're sort of doing a different but similar thing maybe with the black character who is the token black guy. So that's like, that was a thing, a trope that was in all of those movies. There was like one black guy. And it's kind of funny here, like in every scene, his hair changes to like a different stereotypical black hairstyle.
Yeah.
But he's also like the only black person in the movie still, you know, like there's no, he's still the joke, you know, he still is the token.
And that's the danger with parody, I think. And I mean, in a broad context, that like you fall into the trap of the thing that you're parodying, because like even in the end, he's like, actually, like Jake, the main character is like, or the second main character is like, you know, I appreciate you and I really think you're a good friend. And he's like, great, because I want to talk to you about these things. Like, I'm a full human being that really has. And he just like cuts him off and runs away.
That's funny.
And it's like,
that's like,
very, it's a good joke.
Point, on point.
It's a good joke, but they didn't give that character anything in this movie because they couldn't, because they were parodying the other movies. So it's, they were,
but
kind
the
of like
the only other place where they have black characters is the cheerleader segment, the Bring It On, which is also funny, but also in a way where you're like, ooh, I'm not sure I want to be laughing at that.
Well, I think with this movie, like it's parodying things that is also kind of like still employing, which becomes, you know, it's kind of a tough act to pull off a lot of the time, because like you said, like they're parodying how like white these teen comedies are, like by having this guy be like, I'm the token black guy, and by having like the team is literally called the Wasps, which is funny.
Yeah.
But like, but, and also like there's a, you know, definitely. But like they have the character who's like the Eastern European exchange student who is just naked all the time. So it's like, you know, we're parodying like the gratuitous nudity of these teen movies, but then we're also like still doing that, you know, in their own way. So it's like it's a weird balancing act that I think they've, you know, they fall on either side of like success and failure throughout the movie. I think sometimes it's funny. I think other times it just feels like, well, now this is just the thing you're doing, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, 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 exactly. It feels like they were kind of aiming for Mel Brooks parody at certain times and just falling short or falling into like the easy joke.
Yeah. Yeah. And I should also mention, because he's the star of this movie, Captain America's in this.
America's in this.
Captain America's
involved.
I mean, I didn't realize that he was, but he is the guy who makes the bet with all of his dudes that he can take anyone to prom and make her prom queen. And
which is my favorite scene in the entire movie, by the way.
I mean, it's pretty good because it's really playing on the stupid thing about she's all that was so obvious and that everybody was like,
yeah,
you know. But, it's hilarious. They, like, you know, they're, like, looking for, like, the ugliest girl in school and they see, like, an albino person with a guitar. I feel bad because everybody's beautiful in their way, right? I mean,
yeah, but that actress like killed that role. Like I found that her singing that song, I thought she was really good. She made me laugh.
But all these hideous people they say are too good or could still be prom queen.
You just said everyone's beautiful in their own way.
Yeah, in their own hideous way.
Oh, okay.
So they find like the most disgusting, ugly, like nobody would want to go out with her. And it's Janie, and she's disgusting because she has glasses and a ponytail, and
the paint covered overalls.
Yeah,
I think that's something like we've said in conversation, Blaine. We've said like don't forget about the paint covered overalls. Like that's definitely a thing we've mentioned. Like are jokes that have stuck with me for 20 years, even though I haven't watched it, and that's one of them.
Yeah.
I have no pigments.
Any girl with a guitar is hot.
I need sunscreen.
Granted, she's a hippie albino. She could still be prom queen.
Okay, what about the Patelli sisters?
So they're slightly disfigured and connected at the head.
Hi, Dick.
But combined, those two make up one pretty decent chick.
I'd do one.
I know you would, Red Ray. But no, I'm looking for somebody who's really messed up. I'm talking about a real shit bomb.
Well, bombs away.
Oh!
No, anyone but her.
Yeah, for sure. But it's not so easy because she's not just going to go out with him just because he's like a big, handsome Captain America guy. I mean, when you say it that way.
This was his first movie.
Yeah, that's right. And I think he's pretty good in this. Like, he has a lot of charisma.
He's so really funny in this.
I think both leads are really funny. Like, the woman who plays Janie, I forget her name. She's in Supergirl.
Yeah.
Charlotte Lee.
She is really funny, and he's really funny. And I think a lot of the movie works because they're charming and good actors. And, you know, some of these parody movies, like, fall into the trap of just feeling like a vacuum of jokes with no substance. And this is that. Mm-hmm. But also, like, I think that they are so good that it has a semblance of a feel of a real story, you know?
Yeah. Well, there are other good performances, too. Like, I really like Jamie Presley, who from My Name is Earl.
Yeah, she's good.
She's really good.
Yeah. The cheerleader.
Yeah, the cheerleader with Tourette's is really good. Yeah, there's like a lot of really great performances.
See, that was another one.
Yeah.
That was another joke, though. That was one of the early ones that just rubbed me the wrong way. Because, like, I think it's a good movie when it's parodying, you know, specific teen movie tropes. But, like, that was one of the first things where they're like, we're going to introduce a joke of our own. And it's, there's a cheerleader, but she has Tourette's. And this isn't even just one scene. It's, like, multiple scenes where the only joke is that it's a cheerleader who has Tourette's. And I just found that kind of cringy to watch now.
Yeah, I mean, it's punching down. It's,
yeah. Also cringy is the plot of the three boys who, I mean, it seems as if they're almost going to parody, like, the whole teen culture movie where the boys, you know, try to peek in the locker room or, you know, go on the panty raid or whatever, because they're obsessed with it and with losing their virginity before high school, that being the thing that you have to do in movies. So they go full Die Hard in the vents to try to spy on some girls in the locker room, and they end up going over the washroom. And the most disgusting scene I think I have ever seen on film occurs. And let's go to a clip.
Oh, Jesus. No, don't go to a clip.
I'm not going to a clip.
But it is, I mean, and to be fair to that scene, the teacher is talking about, like, what the kids find funny, and he's like, is it excrement? Like, I thought the works of Shakespeare were very funny. I thought the, and Shakespeare had a lot of poo jokes, too, so, I mean, what does the teacher know?
But, good point.
So they're trying to parody that like, you know,
but that's what I mean.
Scatological joke, but then they just do it.
That's what I was saying before. Yeah. It's like, they're like, oh, we're going to parody this, we're going to poke fun of how stupid poop jokes are, but then we're going to have the biggest poop joke of any of these movies.
Any of the movies ever, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
There's also Chris Evans' sister, played by local gal Mia Kirshner. And she is playing the Sarah Michelle Gellar sort of Cruel Intentions character. But it's even worse than Cruel Intentions, because in Cruel Intentions, they're not, like, they're stepbrothers, right? Stepbrother is stepsister, right? And in this, they're just like, they're just like blood related.
Yeah.
And they say that, and it's supposed to be funny.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's one of the few jokes about incest. There are many that I found, like, chuckle-worthy, where he's like, oh my god, you're my sister. And she's like, only by blood. Like, that's a stupid line, but I remember it, so it must have...
What about that thing with the mom?
Well, yeah.
That's what I was going to get to, is the whole missed opportunity of him saying, I don't want your life. He should have said, I don't want your wife, right? Like, that's a missed opportunity joke.
That was your problem with the scene?
I mean, it's a perfect scene other than that, right?
Could have hired Blade to do a punch-up on the script.
Well, we should mention what happens.
No, it's horrible.
It's like a scene where Chris Evans is broken up with Jamie Presley, and his dad comes in and is like, I've got someone for you, and brings in his wife, who's Chris Evans' mom. And he's like, that's mom. And he's like, I'll leave you to get acquainted. And it's like, what? Like, it's not funny. And not only is it not funny, Like, okay, I get it. It's gross. They're trying to do like a gross set. This was like, you know, a couple of years after South Park premiered. Everyone's trying to do edgy, gross out comedy to the biggest degree they can. So they went for something that wasn't funny to me because they were trying to be edgy. Like, whatever. But the even bigger crime, I would say, is that it ruins the joke you were just describing. Because literally in the next scene, we have the Cruel Intentions thing, where we assume that they're stepbrother and stepsister because we've seen Cruel Intentions, but then, yeah, he says, like, you're my sister, and she says, only by blood. Like, yes, that's also gross, but it's kind of funny because it's, you know, preying on our misconceptions based on Cruel Intentions and making it weird and gross. But we just had a scene where there was a far weirder, far grosser scene with the mom, so you completely deflate the humor of that by including that scene. You know what I mean? Like, it ruined the funnier joke.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. It's just an awkward scene to watch, and it must have been an awkward scene to play, and it must have made everyone uncomfortable on set.
Yeah,
you can only imagine what shooting that day is. Can you get a little closer to her on the bed? That'd be great.
Well, it wasn't really his mom.
Like, directed by Brazers.
You know? Okay. You usually just get an actress, and you know, maybe somebody who kind of looks like the person. But we should.
And the dad was the dad from Ferris Bueller,
right? Yeah. Oh, yeah, and there's some other mainstays of 80s movies as well. There's the principal from The Breakfast Club who reprises his whole, you know, mess with the bull, get the horn sort of
Paul
thing.
Paul Gleason, right? He's also Dwayne T. Robinson. Right?
This is where people think that we died. This is where they're like, oh, my headphones cut out.
He's Dwayne T. Robinson in Die Hard.
Yeah. No relation, right?
No, those are Agents Johnson.
Ah, oh, damn it.
You've seen Die Hard, right, Blaine?
I got the Coles notes.
I don't believe you.
Okay, but they don't end up going to the prom together. They end up going separately. He ends up going with his sister because he's sort of lost the bet, and she ends up going with the dude who plays Vaughn in Community. Do you remember that? Vaughn? He was the handsome dude.
What?
Yeah, Olsen. His name is like something Olsen, right? He's very funny. I thought he was great.
Yeah, he was pretty good.
He was also the guy, he played young Jim Carrey in that Dumb and Dumber prequel.
Oh.
Oh, really?
That nobody saw.
Right. Yeah.
Starring American Pie's Eugene Levy.
Right.
Oh, wow.
Nice. And yeah, and like, you know, they eventually, things aren't going well for them. So she's going to leave for art school in France, as you are want to do after high school. And it seems like that's it. That's the end of it. But then at the last minute, he rushes to the airport and he tells everybody that he wants to see the special girl. And they all let him through security. And he gets there and he throws a football at her, beans her in the head.
That was funny.
And you know, Mr. T, we forgot to talk about Mr. T, but he gives him some you know, some encouragement, and it's very nice. Thank you, Mr. T, for the assist. And he professes his feelings to her, and it seems like it's great, except he's called out by Molly Ringwald, who is working as a flight attendant.
Yeah,
I mean, it's a good job. But she calls him out for, you know, using cheap movie lines on her. And, you know, the first one is from, what's the first one from?
She's All That.
And then the second one was from something else. And then the third one.
I think it's Pretty in Pink, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Because that's the one that she's in. And she's like, I think I'd know.
Exactly.
And then he gives like this speech, which is totally different. He says, oh, yeah, we probably would just spend the summer together, and then I go off to college and have sex with somebody else, and that would be it. So what's the point? And very unexpected, very, very truthful.
Yeah, very honest.
And she sort of chooses to believe that that's from The Karate Kid.
Yeah, we've done that on the podcast, so I know that's not from
The Karate Kid. Okay, Mr. Miyagi, Daniel-san, he says to me, okay, Cobra Kai...
That's the kind of thing they might say.
They
Cobra
get together,
and that's not another teen movie.
Now, I was kind of disappointed. Yeah, she chooses to believe it was from Karate Kid, and like they, you know, go off together you know, they get together at the end. But like, I think the better version of this movie would have been if they were just like, yeah, this makes no sense. And like, she went to art school and it would have been funny if like at the end of the movie almost like severed its connection to the teen comedy and like became something else or, you know.
Yeah. But totally. I think that that's not realistic for teenagers who are stupid. Teenagers do dumb things like not go to art school in France for a boy. Or whatever. Yeah.
We also have to have the like payoff for the slow clap guy.
Oh, that's so good.
Keeps trying to start slow claps.
That's perfect.
The first time he does it, he gets told off by Melissa Joan Hart.
Yeah. Sabrina the
Teenage. Like, that was
a
funny joke.
That's a great scene, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I also use that line a lot. I don't know why. When she pours water on her dress after she's just been in the pool, and someone goes, "Oh, that'll stain." Like, I don't know why I like that line so much.
There's some really fun, like ADR, like the extras.
Yeah,
we're doing ADR.
Totally,
yeah. Some really funny.
When
jokes.
Rudy gets hit, when Rudy gets like severed in half, and Marty. And someone from the sideline goes, "Walk it off, Marty."
and then later at the prom or something, like Chris Evans is going up and somebody from the crowd just yells, "Marty." Yeah.
I like, this isn't even really a joke, but like when Chris Evans is singing to Janie from the stands, like in 10 Things I Hate About You, and he sings Janie's Got a Gun, and someone goes, "She's got a gun," and they all run away, and then security chases after her. Like, in the distance, one of the security guards just goes, "Just give us the gun, Janie." Yeah.
I also really think the guy who had one line saying, she's got a gun, like, yeah, really sold it. Like, he was in a different movie that was way better than this movie. He did a great job.
I remember that scene from the trailer, but I still laughed really hard at it, even though that song is 30 years old.
That's also funny because Chris Evans has, like, the Steven Tyler scarves on the microphone.
It's so perfect. He gets a few songs. We forgot to talk about, there's also the prom musical song, which is written by Ben Folds of the Ben Folds.
What, really?
Oh, really?
Four. Yeah.
Wow.
I was just writing about
that.
How
I did trivia for this.
He did a song for Community, too. So he's mainly been doing novelty songs in the 21st century.
He also did the Sarah Silverman podcast intro as well. So he's really taking the work where he can get it.
I mean, it's a gig economy, man. So
that musical scene did feel like a moment. I remember watching it for the first time and seeing that and being like, this is a moment that like communicates how much at least like the filmmakers were trying or like going for it. Like, mm-hmm. So many of those other kind of like parody movies we talked about that fit into the same kind of subgenre are like, you know, like, let's just get through this. Like, we're gonna put together a thing, we're gonna slap movie on it, and unrated cut, and like maybe we'll rent some DVDs.
There'll be a shot on the cover of a girl from, you know, the legs down or the body up or head down, or
exactly,
you know,
as long as we like dismember her somehow on this cover.
But this at least, like in the musical number especially, I think you get the sense like, oh, like they're really like going for it and they're like really working hard to make this a thing.
I'll do my best to make things right.
I wish we could resolve this fight.
It could happen.
It could happen
at the prom tonight. I'm getting pussy no matter what, even if it's with dirty slut.
And I think it also, like, in terms of the plotting, I think it does a pretty good job of juggling all of these different character types from all of these different movies and kind of fitting them into one story that touches on all of them.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's actually pretty well plotted from that standpoint, I would argue.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it ought to be. They had 5 writers on it. But it is impressive because there's a lot of parodies to get in there, and like some of them do have like a cohesive story in a way, though it's a dumb one.
Yeah, Yeah, there was like other parodies, like it felt like it was an Unbreakable parody, but that must have been, was it a year before this came out that Unbreakable came out or something like that? Because it must have been around the same time.
Oh,
like
Mr. T?
Mr. T, yeah. I'm the wise old janitor. Yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if that was an Unbreakable parody or not. I guess it was.
Yeah, so I don't know. Either. But
they were just throwing things at the wall to see what would stick. Like, Unbreakable.
Well, that's, you know,
yeah.
It's a teen movie.
At least that's, you know, that's another thing about like the scary movies and those kind of movies that kind of bugged me is like they just became like, let's parody anything else that came out in the last year and a half, like 8 Mile, this, that. It doesn't matter. Right. We're not doing horror movies or, you know, it became so unfocused. Mm-hmm. This at least like really sticks to like the teen genre of the past like 2 decades. Like it feels, yeah, like focused in a way that a lot of those other movies aren't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And honestly, it felt like everyone was, I mean, I guess because they were young actors and some of them, this is their first role. It felt like everyone was really committed to the movie,
yeah,
in a way that you don't find in those like B movie parodies or parody B movies, I guess, because everyone's just like there to make a buck or get away as fast as they can to their trailer again. But this felt like everyone was like, no, I want to make this funny. I want to make this good. So that was kind of nice. And it felt like everyone was having fun on set too. So that was kind of fun to watch, mm-hmm, as well. Let's be right back. Let's have a short little break. And then when we come back, I'll throw you some lowball trivia questions. You guys will get them. It's going to be easy.
I didn't study.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to Rewatchability. We're talking about Not Another Teen Movie. I have some trivia for you guys. So the director, Joel Gallen, created the MTV Movie Awards. They were part of his creation. He was an exec at MTV.
Oh,
that explains so much.
Yes. And he directed many of the shorts that were in the MTV Movie Awards. He went on to be executive producer to a very, I would say, influential comedy that we all really love. Name that movie.
Wait, he was an executive producer on a comedy we love after this?
I think, yeah, after this.
A movie comedy?
A movie comedy, and I kind of set it up by saying he was the director of the MTV Movie Awards and their interstitial
Joe's
videos.
Apartment?
No, but good guess.
That was the first MTV movie.
We should do that on the podcast.
Yeah. I think we've already done it, haven't we?
I don't know.
See?
This is what I mean.
Yeah, I don't know what to believe anymore.
It's all a lie.
Gaslight us.
We're just ghosts.
Have we done Gaslight on the podcast?
No, we've done this movie on the podcast for sure.
Oh, okay. Ooh. Airheads.
I can't think of one.
No. No, it's a movie about a central character, and he helped come up with that character with Ben Stiller.
Oh, Zoolander.
Zoolander, yeah.
Okay. Oh.
So he directed the first like Zoolander shorts for MTV Movie Awards and then went on
right.
to be executive producer on the film. So that's
right.
pretty cool that he had like a big hand in that, because I love that movie. I think that movie is so funny.
Yeah, it's a classic.
Yeah, it's a classic. Okay, so second question. Which actor in this film had the distinction of parodying themselves from another teen movie?
Oh, I know that
one. Wait, say that again.
So there's an actor in this movie that was parodying a character from another movie. He also played that character.
Oh, I do know this, too.
Yeah. Okay.
It's the guy from Varsity Blues, right?
Yeah. His
Ron
name,
Lester.
Ron Lester. Yeah.
And he passed
Reggie
away,
Ray
right?
In this one. He did, yeah.
Recently, I think.
He died in 2016 of liver and kidney failure. He lost 348 pounds in 2 years.
Oh, my God. Oh.
And he had to have apparently 14 surgeries to like deal with SS skin. But I just think that's so commendable that he did that. And he said all his roles disappeared after that. which is really unfortunate.
Yeah.
But, like, good on him for doing that. That's, like, one of the harder things people have to do in their lives. So good on Ron Lester.
And, well, it's also it's fun that he's up for doing both, like, for doing the same part in the parody version. And
it's funny.
I never saw Varsity Blues, so I can't comment on.
We should do it for the podcast.
It's called Rewatchability, like... Blaine. I've never. No, yeah. If you guys have seen it, I would be totally down for that. But, like, I know there's a lot of Varsity Blues in this, like, most famously, like, the whipped cream scene, which again feels like a bit of a, like, again, progressive is too strong a word, but we get the whipped cream bikini scene with Chris Evans instead of
with Captain America.
That's America's ass with a banana.
Oh, Captain,
up
my
it.
Captain.
I mean, that's one of my favorite jokes too. Is that she says, "Are you a sundae?" And he goes, "Banana split." But we don't know why until he turns around, and that's a perfect setup reveal joke. Yeah, I love that. Okay, so you might know this as well, but two actors got engaged on the set of this
Oh,
film.
don't tell me one of them was Randy Quaid.
It was Randy Quaid and that pig.
His name was Sausage. So, which two actors were they?
I saw this when I was doing my research. It's the main person, Kryler Lee, and some other guy.
I don't think any of us have said her name correctly.
It's Kryler Lee.
It's C H Y L E R. I don't know how to spell that.
Chyler. Chyler? Kyler? Could be anyway. Both. Okay.
She's great in this.
Miss Lee. Mrs. Lee.
Yeah, she got married to this other guy who I think his name was like Nathan West or something like that.
Wait, was he a guy?
And he was playing.
In the movie? He's an actor?
Yeah. He was an actor in the movie. Do you know what part he played?
No.
It's really hard. He played the Freddie Prinze Jr. lookalike in the She's All That scene that they refilmed.
Oh, my God. So if they had gotten the rights to that movie, her whole life would have been different.
Yeah.
Wait, like, she met him on the movie,
they were
right?
together before this. No,
oh,
no.
Okay. I never mind.
They were together for like 3 years
before
this. Yeah,
I think she probably got him the job. He sounds like a deadbeat.
That's why I...
A deadbeat who happens to look vaguely like Freddie Prinze Jr.
Nathan West crying from your disdain for him, Rob.
Well, also I read on the IMDb that Kryler was doing a whole lot of cocaine during this time.
Wait, that's on the IMDb?
So I just imagine...
It's on the IMDb that she admitted to being high most of the time.
Oh, okay.
Cocaine while doing this movie. She was also 19 while she was doing this movie. So that's unfortunate.
You know what? If I was 19 and I had to be in another teen movie, I'd probably be doing rails of coke all the time. That's, you know.
Yeah.
I've never done cocaine in my life, but if they had cast me in Not Another Teen Movie, I probably would have done it.
Good point.
Just to fit in.
Don't do drugs unless you're cast in a parody film.
With Randy Quaid.
Caught up with Leslie Nielsen. That's how he died.
But there, you'd think that a relationship that started off on cocaine and another teen movie wouldn't last, but they're still together. They have three kids.
That's nice. That's I'm sorry. I called him a deadbeat. That was a jerk thing.
He's an actor. He acts in things. Come on.
Maybe I'm the deadbeat.
I was hoping you were going to say that they met on the set and it was like, it was fate because they couldn't get the rights to She's All That, but that's disappointing.
No,
I know she was on Grey's Anatomy, but I didn't watch that. But I was watching Supergirl and Supergirl's sister is played by her. I thought she looked really familiar and I looked it up and Not Another Teen Movie.
I think she just knocks this movie out of the park. Like, I haven't seen Supergirl or Grey's Anatomy, so for me, this is the only thing I've ever seen her in. But I thought she'd get, I don't know, I thought people would be, like, a little more hungry for her as an actress because she did so well in this movie. I thought she was so funny. Should be more comedies. She should be more comedies.
She is really funny in this.
Yeah.
Did you guys watch the spinoff TV series?
No.
What? No.
There's a spin-off TV series?
Like, oh, wow. Okay. What is it? First of all, Blaine, I'm disappointed in your lack of research.
I looked at IMDb. Come on. No, I actually watched the video because they recorded the proposal on set. Aww. It was like a surprise proposal. So there's a video.
That's sweet.
Maybe we'll put it on our website.
There was a spin-off TV pilot it was never picked up, called Not Another High School Show. And is available on YouTube. It was, I think it's the same, one of the writers, if not the director, I can't remember who, but someone who was involved with the original movie did it as a TV pilot, because the movie was like pretty successful. Like it did well at the box office.
Yeah, it made its money back and
forth. Yeah, and so they did this pilot, which was more of like a parody of like The OC and other like, you know, teen TV dramas. So I watched some of it on YouTube, and it's funny because it begins with like two like hooligans in like a bad neighborhood breaking into a car, and one of them is played by that guy. What's his name? Like Eric something Olson, like with the guy from this movie.
Oh yeah.
So he's in it as a different character who like blows up in a car, but then later at the end he faked his death and comes back. And also Jamie Presley's in it briefly too. And it was not good. It was like real bad.
Surprise.
And it like not just bad. Like I was watching it and being like, oh, okay, this is kind of bad. And it just kind of seemed like kind of amateurish too. Like the sound sounded bad. It didn't sound professional. It sounded like, you know, like a YouTube video or something. It had weird echo and stuff. And like literally within 5 minutes, there was a very unpleasant rape joke.
Oh,
yeah, it was not good at all. Just a couple noteworthy things about it. Early into the show, there's a Buffy parody, and the Buffy character, hilariously titled Muffy.
Because that's like slang for
played by Alison Brie. Again, back to Community.
She's
again.
So good. She's so good. She can do
Thankfully,
anything.
The show did not get picked up, and she did not get locked into. She did not have to pass on Mad Men to do Muffy the Vampire Slayer. And Jennifer Lawrence is in it very briefly.
Whoa.
She's uncredited on the show, but she's in it as, like, I guess basically an extra.
Jesus. That sort of thing always just reminds me of how much it's, like, there can be 100 talented people, but it's all just luck in the end. Like, really.
And talent.
Yeah, sure. I mean, but there's so many talented people, but like then someone gets stuck on Not Another Teen Show.
I mean, you don't have to be talented to be on like some crappy TV show.
No, but like some talented people might get stuck there and then won't go on to be a Mad Men.
Right,
you know?
won't blossom.
Yeah.
Into like movie stars.
Blossom wasn't in it.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm getting these people mixed up. Good.
All right. Game. Yeah, thanks. Thanks for acknowledging that I made the best point.
Acting
this podcast.
Is hard.
Acting, luck. There's luck involved. Who knew? So, you want to go around and say if we thought this was rewatchable or not? I'm going to start with you, Rob.
There was a lot of funny stuff in this movie, and some of it was really stupid. Some of it was stuff that I didn't really want to watch. Gross out too far. I mean, it's really hard to make a comedy movie. Morals have changed in the last 10 years. It's not as bad as many of the movies that it's sort of parodying. Like, those were, like, bad movies. And there are some things in this movie that do seem like, yeah, like, almost progressive. Where you're like, hey, wait, are they actually trying to satirize something? Or are they just making dumb jokes? It doesn't do that. It's not a smart movie. It's not a satire.
Right.
But it is pretty funny. There's stuff that obviously I don't feel great about as an adult person. I think that, you know, there are some things that in order to parody them or to make fun of them or to like discuss them, you're probably going to have to like get into the dirt a little bit yourself. So maybe that's a part of it. But honestly, it was fun to watch it right now. On this day, you know, in 2021. And there aren't that many things that are just, like, really, really funny. Or just, like, you know, sort of, like, joke a minute. And there were, you know, moments where I would just my lazy eye would catch something like Anthony Michael Dining Hall, and I would just laugh uncontrollably. And there were other things where I was really disgusted, but I was also laughing uncontrollably. So I'm going to say this is mildly rewatchable. I think that there is something here. You have to wade through a lot of shit, like, literally. But it also, like, it's so note on in the way that it parodies some of these movies. Like, She's All That, and which we haven't done on the podcast, by the way, and we probably should someday. Yeah. But those movies were, like, a huge part of our lives. And, yeah, like, even though I didn't love them, they were, like, what our entire generation watched. So I felt like, you know, they were my sort of movies. And it sort of felt nice to, you know, have them sort of looked at again in a nostalgic way, but also have the air taken out of them a little bit as well. So, yeah, mildly rewatchable, I'm going to say.
Okay, what about you, Jim?
Yeah, it's hard to say because I feel like when I saw it the first time, it's like I was coming at it from the perspective of thinking it would be terrible and being pleasantly surprised that there was a lot of funny stuff in it. Whereas watching it now, I was coming at it from the perspective of like, oh, this was really funny, and then finding more of the disappointing aspects of it more pronounced. So I don't know. I'm kind of right in the middle. I do think, yes, yeah, sometimes it does really funny parodies of like those teen movies. And like for us, like when we saw it at the time, like it was almost kind of like cathartic because we had all of these teen comedies that, especially like, you know, if we saw them and didn't like them, which I think a lot of us probably did. Like, I mean, I certainly saw a lot of like mainstream teen comedies that I did not like, but I saw them to be like a part of the larger conversation or to be, you know, kind of like feel mm-hmm. included in contemporary teen culture, but ended up feeling like kind of insulted or condescended to. So like it did feel like, yeah, a little cathartic's too strong a word, but it felt nice to have the air taken out of them a little bit. And it is kind of like shooting fish in a barrel to a certain extent because these movies are extremely stupid, but like I think the movie does it very cleverly a lot of the time, and when they're able to do it in pure story terms, I think it works best, like the paint and the overalls and the ponytail and the glasses, like having that be the dialogue. But then other times there's jokes where like characters are literally like, I'm the character that comes along and does this. And like, does it, and it's like, well, that now you're not even like trying to craft a joke in within the story to do that. You're just kind of like stating that, you know, that's a thing that happens in these movies, which I think is also like a little more dull to watch today in like the internet age where like, yeah, we've probably read like a BuzzFeed article where it's like, you know, 100 stock characters in teen movies, and like a lot of the movie mm-hmm. feels like that. But I think a lot of the time, or some of the time, they do weave it into the narrative and have it actually like be kind of organic, or even like having like, yeah, Randy Quaid, terrible person, still a funny actor, and like taking the dirtbag teenage daughter character and like making him just like so creepy and like weird, and like and also having the American Pie thing of like fucking a pie be his thing, that he's just like in the background of the main story just like having sex with pies off screen until the very end.
Well, and that, and like loaves of bread, like there was everything yeah. in that kitchen that had a hole in it yeah. at the end. Yeah,
like that's funny. So I don't know. I don't know. I would say for me, in terms of like a rewatch, I would say it's mildly not rewatchable. I think I was more disappointed yeah. in watching it now than I was finding it funny. And even like, yeah, like the Sam Levine. I like Sam Levine. Sam Levine is on like podcasts I listen to. I think he's a nice guy and he seems good and he's great in Freaks and Geeks and other movies. And like the character they gave him here, his whole thing just being that he like mimics Asian people is uncomfortable and not funny, and certainly doesn't hold up. We forgot to mention one of the supporting actors is Josh Radnor from How I Met Your Mother.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
So he was another future.
Didn't meet her in high school. Could have saved 8 years of that show.
So yeah, I don't know. I'm like kind of conflicted, but I'd also be lying if I said I felt good after watching it. Like, I just felt kind of drained and kind of gross. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. It's got some funny stuff. But then, like, as soon as there was something funny, there was something aggressively unfunny or aggressively dated or, you know, something gross. I don't know. Like, I don't want to sound like a prude, but I also think a lot of the time the movie, which is a very clever movie and like made by smart people, was sacrificing its own intelligence to fulfill the quota of like grossness that was required for a mainstream comedy in 2001. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. you can make the bar was continually set higher and higher by like the gross out comedy. I mean, that's just what the era was. And so I feel like the movie, you know, they try to dance around it, but in the end, I think it had to like tick a lot of boxes of grossness and, you know, dumbassery to be a big comedy. I mean, that's the big problem with it. It's a great parody of teen comedies that also wanted to be a teen comedy. And I think at mm-hmm. times it's really successful at that. And at other times it's just kind of embarrassing. So I don't know. Yeah. Mildly not rewatchable for me. What about you, Blaine?
I'm in much the same boat as you, JM. Like, I didn't think it was going to be funny, loved it, wanted other people to see it. And then rewatching it this time, I was expecting to laugh as much as I did. And yeah, I realized that like there is some kind of meanness to it at times. And I really didn't like seeing that in it. And there was some cleverness that I didn't really get before. So rewatching it did have it was kind of nice to rewatch it. We didn't talk about the character of Ricky, her best friend.
The like Blaine character.
Thank you. But like,
I just imagine, I was just like, what kind of hat did Blaine wear in high school?
It was a fedora.
I'm sorry, Blaine.
Wait, he's supposed to be like the John Cryer type.
Yeah,
guy,
he's
right?
Like the friend zoned dude. But like the fact that they kind of showed how. Because he was also the dude in every teen movie that like was like the best friend that then finally realizes that she actually loves, you know, because he's been doing so much stuff for her that is just such like the heart of the incel movement right now. That like that this movie took that to task and really made him laughable, and all the people on the bikes that were going by him being like, she's not into you, man. Like, leave her alone. Like, all that stuff is just like, that's great that you're like calling out teen movies for doing that stuff and for setting.
But he was specifically supposed to be Ducky right. from yeah. Pretty in Pink. No?
I think so. Yeah. And, but I liked that. And I thought there was some, you know, some clever stuff in it as well, but it's a little mean. It's a little scatological. It's a little incestual, too much, for my taste. And it kind of feels like, you know, yeah, it kind of felt like to me, like a person that you knew at one point that you're like, you hung out and you were friends with for a certain point in your life. And then you both kind of moved on and you're like, I get to have the memories of that friendship and that's great. But if we got together now, it probably wouldn't be awesome. So yeah.
Like, Blaine, your friend talked about poop and incest a lot at dinner.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that I have a lot of fond memories of this movie, and I'll keep them, but I'm not going to rewatch it again because I think this is going to taint those memories more and more.
Keep so it sacred.
Yeah, exactly. I think I'm just, I'm it's not rewatchable lie. For me. Let the mystery lie, yeah. So I'm going to say it's not rewatchable. So we have the gamut here of kind of not rewatchable,
yeah, mediocre and awful, you know, ratings.
Which is kind of what the movie got when it came out.
Yeah, so, it seems appropriate. It seems you nailed it, guys.
So thank you so much for listening to Rewatchability this week. We'll be back next week. And in the meantime, you can check out our whole back catalog on our website and on any podcast listenable place that you go to. And app that you have on your phone, you can find us there. And if you want to talk to us, you can talk to us on social media, or you can email us at rewatchability@gmail.com. We love getting emails. We want to know about you. And our email, our inbox is lonely. Email us. And yeah, you can tell a friend if you can't go to patreon.com/rewatchability to give a little dough. And thanks so much for listening.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.